returning to this portion in the life of Gideon and learning the lessons revealed there for our own lives. Judges chapter 7, and we're reading this morning from verse number 9. Judges 7, reading together please from verse number 9. Let's read the word of God, please. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites, and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand have God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow of a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye all the trumpets, also in every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon, the 100 men that were with him, come unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the 3 companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah and Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabbath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Ending our reading there, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's just take a moment here now, as we come to the word of God this morning. Let us all pray. Let us all seek his face, that God will come and bless us. Pray personally. You are before God as an individual, as well as being part of a congregation. So pray personally, pray for yourself, pray for the preacher. Pray that God will come into this meeting in a marvelous way. Meet the need of every heart. Bless this gathering. Bless your heart. Let's pray to that end. Let's do that now. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the stillness and quietness again of this meeting house, we thank thee, Lord, as a congregation and as individuals we can come before the throne. We thank thee that salvation is personal, and therefore so are God's dealings with us personal. You deal with congregations, you deal with individuals. And we pray, O God, that this morning in this meeting you will do both. You will deal with us as a people, but deal with us as individuals. Deal with my heart and the heart of every brother and sister here. Remember those among us still without Christ. We pray, O Father in heaven, that you'll work in every heart this morning, and you'll meet the need of that heart. Lord, here we come to turn to divine truth, to turn to this portion now in Judges 7, this record of Holy Writ, of the affairs of a man of God of bygone days. Yea, Lord, a few thousand years ago. Yet, O God, we have it before us. like as it was yesterday, right before us in the page of Scripture. We pray, O God, that we'll learn the lessons. We pray, O God, that you'll take thy word this morning, apply it to every heart. God, if anything is to be done for your glory, then this preacher has no chance. Thou alone must do it. Thou alone does work for your own glory. And therefore, O God, we pray that you'll come and just do what only thou can do. Glorify thine own name in this meeting. But Lord, as I have to bring this message, empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and with power. Give divine unction. We pray, O God, that you'll baptize now with heavenly energy. Lord, here we are as a people, heads bowed before God. A public declaration of our need of thee. A public declaration that the devil is too strong. A public declaration that we need one who is greater. But we thank thee that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Therefore we surrender this meeting now to God and pray that thy will be done and you'll glorify your Son. Even in our midst this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time I was with you and we looked at this life of Gideon, I looked with you at a message I entitled, The Verge of the Battle. The Verge of the Battle. We noted that Gideon's army, which had started off at 32,000, is now down to 300. Down to 300. We also noted the last day that we cannot afford, even for a moment, to take our eyes off the enemy. Not for 1 minute can we afford to do that. To do that would be a massive mistake, a big mistake in the life of any Christian. As he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and I think we saw that those that he devours are those that take their eyes off him. We cannot afford for 1 minute to take our eyes off him, to live as if he doesn't exist, to live as if there's no devil, would be disastrous for us as Christians. Now here we are again in Judges 7 this morning. The Lord himself, as we said, has tried the people. He's narrowed the army down to 300 men. 300 men to go against an army of 135,000. 300 to go against an army of 135,000. How do we get to that total? We'll go to chapter 8, verse 10. Chapter 8, verse 10, just to be... see that there were 135,000 of the Midianites. Because chapter 8 verse 10 is after the battle. Now look what it says there, verse 10. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them about 15,000 men. All that were left of all the host of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. There we have it. 15,000 left, 120,000 dead. 135,000. That's too many. These 300 men are going against. 300 against 135,000. It brings to mind the words of Paul, God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Without a sword being drawn, without an arrow being shot from a Midianite bow, Gideon finds his army down to 300 men. As I've said, it wasn't a Midianite sword. It wasn't an arrow from a bow. It was the mind of God. That's the key. It was the mind of God that 300 go against the 135,000. Look at verse 7 with me. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lappeth, chapter 7, verse 7, by the 300 men that lappeth will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. But note what it says in verse 7. By the 300 men. In that verse, the Lord reaffirms the promise. He reaffirms the message. Even now, when the army is 300, the Lord gives the same message. I'm going to give you success. I have delivered the Midianites into thine hand. By the 300 that lappeth, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into their hand. The promise is reaffirmed. Look at verse 8. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. So, 31,700, go home. 300 left to go against 135,000. The Midianites are beneath them in the valley, as the end of verse 8 tells us. And verse 9 says, and that's really where we begin today. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. I want to speak today on a message I've entitled, The Heavenly Call to Arise. The Heavenly Call to Arise. You see, dear people, the Christian is always called to arise. We're always called to action. We never lay off our warfare until the celestial city opens before us. Until that happens, the Christian is always called to arise. Take the sword. Take the shield. Put on the armor. And go against the enemy. The Christian church is always called to go on the offensive. Always called to go on the offensive. Now the source of this call in verse number 9. Look at it with me. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. The words, and it came to pass the same night, are striking words. Of course, the source of the call we see right away is God. But look at those words, and it came to pass the same night. The same night is what? Because that little phrase is used twice in the life of Gideon. And it came to pass the same night. It's used before in chapter 6, verse 25. Turn there. Here's the first time this little phrase is used. The whole life of Gideon with this phrase twice. And it came to pass the same night. There's verse 25. The same night is what? The same night in verse 25 that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that's by it. But what else happened in that night? That's the point we need to see. What's so important about that little statement? And it came to pass the same night. We'll go back to verse 23 of chapter 6. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. God gives him this assurance of peace, the acceptance of his person. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet an offer of the Abiezrite, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord send peace. The same night as there was this time of communion between God and Gideon, he commissions him to go and to do this first test, which is pulling down the altar of Baal and the grove in the house of his father. Let's go back to chapter 7. But to the same phrase, verse 9. And it came to pass the same night. You see, each occasion more light is given when more light is required. Chapter 6 and 7, the same night the Lord met with them. Both cases are marked by communion. Both cases are marked by communion with God. The same night Gideon communed with the Lord gave more light. And dear people, there's a very simple lesson. It's as we commune with God that the Lord will lead us, that the Lord will guide us, that more light will open up before us. Twice that phrase is mentioned. And it came to pass the same night. Chapter 6, the same night God gave the assurance of peace that he had accepted Gideon. And Gideon builds the altar. And as he builds the altar, and it came to pass the same night, he's told what to do. And in chapter 7, it's after this time of communion. And again, the same phrase, and it came to pass the same night. It's drawing attention to what happened before it. And dear people, there it is. As we obey the light that's given, as we keep in communion with the Lord, more light will be given. Think of Gideon. He's just seen his army. 31,700 going home. That would be little enough to be going against 135,000. He now has it down to 300. Can I say that Gideon sent them home without even a murmur? It was good enough for Gideon that the light came from God. It was good enough for Gideon that God had said 300. He saw his army cut from 32,000 to 300, going against 135,000, and without even a murmur, it's enough for Gideon that the light had come from God. Rightly as Gideon placed in Hebrews 11. A man of faith. It was enough for him. Oh, I'm sure he wondered. Obviously. But it was enough for Gideon that God said, by the 300, I'll save you.
I'll deliver the Midianites into your hand. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said, on the same time as communion, the source of this light was heaven. The Lord said unto it, it's direction from above, verse 9. Dear believer, and again, what did I say at the outset of this study? We're just learning the lessons. Never be afraid to move on light from heaven. Never be afraid to move on it. Never be afraid to move when God gives that light, no matter how it may look. God is to be trusted. There is no safer direction than heavenly direction. There is no safer direction to go, for when heavenly direction is given and heavenly direction is obeyed, the heavenly presence is with you. God is with you. You start this study, you go through it again, and you see the whole time of this battle, getting ready for it, from the first test there in Gideon's house, from the moment of when it says, and it came to pass the same night, chapter 6, God accepts Gideon's person. From that moment, communion the whole way. The whole way. More light given. More light given. More direction given. From the moment that altar was set up, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord send peace. That relationship, that journey began for Gideon. And he obeyed as the Lord gave light. And now he is here. This call to arise. Arise. Get thee down unto the host. For I have delivered it into thine hand. The source of the call, of course, was the Lord. But what about the revelation that was given in the call? Verse 9 again. Arise, get thee down unto the host. For I have delivered it into thy hand. The revelation given was that victory was absolutely assured. There was never going to be any doubt about it. Now, dear believer, there are things in the Christian life that are absolutely assured. Absolutely. There's never any doubt about them. Heaven. Your sins are all forgiven. Assurance of God's love. The indwelling of the Spirit. Ultimate victory at last. Heaven for you. These blessings, they're absolutely assured. And all that same thought of absolute assurance of victory is given to Gideon here. Arise, get thee down unto the host, for, there's the key word, I have delivered it into thine hand. God has given them the camp. He has given the Midianites into their hand. And now Gideon must move and possess it. He must go and take it. Look at verse 11. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Now what's in view there? Gideon here, the Lord has said to him, when you go down to the camp, and you come to the edge of it, you're going to hear what they say, and you're going to get a word, and it's going to strengthen you, and it's not only going to strengthen you, it's going to strengthen the men that are with you to go and take the camp. Look at verse 11 again. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. The thought is, Gideon here, he's to observe providence. He's been in communion with the Lord. And the Lord's telling them, you're going to get a word here. Now, dear people, when you're seeking guidance, remember, we're just learning the lessons. When you're seeking guidance, there has to be observing of providence. And keeping your eyes open and your ears open. And in the word, and seeking for that guidance. The Lord has told Gideon, look, you're going to get a word. It'd be unthinkable for Gideon to go down there and not listen to anything. He went down there to listen. He went down there to receive that word because God has promised him a word that will strengthen him, a word that will encourage him, a word that will strengthen his hands. Now remember, Gideon had no Bible. God revealed himself in Gideon's day. God's revelation was theophany, prophecy, and miracle. That's how God revealed himself in those days. Now, we've already seen theophany in this portion. Look at chapter 6. 6 verse 12. Chapter 6 verse 12. Theophany was a mode of revelation. Theophany, a showing of God or appearance of God. Look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. There it was. There was a theophany or a Christophany. It was a pre-incarnation appearance of Christ. There was a showing of God. But prophecy, a form of prophecy was visions or dreams. And we're all familiar with that in the Old Testament. How God spoke and revealed his mind through visions and dreams. I just want to digress a moment and show a couple. Go to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. Abraham had no Bible. But they weren't without light. God revealed himself. God revealed his mind. Genesis 20 verse 3. Genesis 20 verse 8. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. How did God speak to that man? He revealed it through a dream. He revealed his mind through a dream for that situation. Go to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. This one's well known. Genesis 37 verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. Now, what was that all about? Was it just a dream? No. It was God Almighty revealing his mind, giving Joseph a word about his future, giving a word about his preferment and what was going to happen in this man's life, this young man's life. And though his brothers took action to try and defeat it, they were the instruments of fulfilling it. Because when God gives a word, it comes to pass. When God gives a word. But young people, I want to show you something here. I want to address the young people. Joseph gets a word here from the Lord. Gets a word about his future. Gets a word about his preferment. Gets a word about what's going to happen in his life. But I want you young people to see what age he is. Look at verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. And young people, I tell you right now, there was nobody alive at that time, I firmly believe, that walked as closely with God as Joseph. 17 years old. Don't fall into this mistake thinking that spirituality and doing great things for God comes later in life. Here's a young man, a teenager, 17 years old, and there was nobody like him. Nobody like him in all that land. He knew the mind of God for his life. He knew what God was doing with him. He knew what God was going to do with him. And dear young people, I say to you today, in love to your soul, don't waste your years knowing the will of God. Walking with God is for now, not the future. What a meeting we had on Tuesday night. Young men and women who'd given their summer to serving Christ and going for God. Oh, young people, may it stir us all. May it stir us all. Here's a young man, 17 years old. God has revealed his mind to him. He's revealed his will for his life. Young people, if I could say, don't waste your youthful years. Give them to God. History tells what Joseph became for God. That young man was told of how he would save a nation. And that's what he did. He saved a nation. Saved them from starving. Oh, young people. Young man, young woman in this meeting, may God put his hand on you and raise you up for his glory. We've got to leave that point. I'm showing you those 2 points to show that that's how God revealed his mind, by visions, by dreams. But may God apply the truth there. Go back to Judges 7. Judges 7. Gideon goes down to the camp. He and Phura, they get to the outside of the camp. They get to the ranks of the Midianites. The night season. And look at verse 13. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and come unto a tent. Note that word, a tent. Note that, I'll explain that in a minute. And smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand of God delivered Midian and all the host. Did you ever ask yourself what it was all about? That barley loaf rolling into a tent, by the way, that literally means the tent. The greatest tent in the Midianite camp. The king's tent. And the barley loaf rolls in and knocks the whole thing down. This man dreamt it, this Midianite. A cake of barley overturned the tent. It doesn't happen. But neither is 300 against 135,000. But the point is, it was a prophecy. It was a prophecy to Gideon of what was going to happen. That just the way a cake would roll over a tent. And it doesn't happen unless God be in it. 300 against 135,000. Unarmed. Simple mathematics. They're outnumbered 450-1. Oh, men and women, it was a prophecy. It was a fulfillment. It was a further word. Gideon was to wait on it. And he receives this word. Look what the fellow answered when he heard the dream. This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand have God delivered Midian and all the host. The word comes again. Absolute success. Absolute victory. What effect has it in Gideon? Look at verse 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. The host of Midian. Dear people, what a scene. You see, you leave God out of that one, dear people. That's not working. 300 against 135,000 doesn't work. A roll of barley bread rolling into a camp doesn't knock over a tent in the normal run of things. But little as much when God is in it. And dear people in our nation, we are outnumbered. We are outnumbered. If we have any other message than the gospel, we're defeated. But God is with his church. God is with his church. And Gideon, just as God says here to Gideon, you and that 300 men, I'm going to give you that camp. It's all a great revelation, dear people, of how the work of God always and always was and always will be done. Look at verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand. Look at the words. With empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. 300 men with a trumpet. Empty pitchers. Lamps within the pitchers. What's it all about? Going against 135,000. Doesn't work. It's ridiculous. They're not even armed. What's the view? Oh, to the carnal mind, it's ridiculous. The empty pitcher, that earthen vessel, that clay vessel. Emptied of everything, only what God says was to be in it. And what was in it? The light, the oil. And then there's the trumpet. That great note. What's the trumpet in Scripture? The trumpet of redemption. Oh, dear people, what a glorious picture of the Church of Christ going against an innumerable world with the gospel trumpet. Earthen vessels clay vessels, just with the lamp and the oil. Dear believer, you are that earthen vessel. You are that earthen vessel. Within your soul, that which God put there, the Holy Ghost Himself, giving that blessed light, giving that light, enabling the church to sound the gospel trumpet, is a marvelous scene of how Christ will always work. And what a prophecy Gideon receives here. Take the trumpet. Take the earthen vessel with the light in it, with the lamp in it. The church today taking Christ to a perishing world. And the Lord says, arise. Gideon says, arise. Now turn to John 14. Turn to John 14. John 14, verse 31. Sorry, John 16, verse 31. No, John 14. My head's away. John 14. John 14, verse 30. Here's the Savior. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. It's again the heavenly call to arise. You see, Christ was arising to the battle. He was the earthen vessel. He was the earthen vessel with only that which was within him, the Spirit of God, filled without measure. And he is arising here to go to the great battle and the earthen vessel of our humanity on his way to conquer the devil himself and all the powers of darkness. See what he says. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Where's he going? You see, in Christ's omniscient mind this night, as verse 30 tells us, he sees Satan himself amass the legions. And when he said there in verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and of nothing in me. What Christ was saying is he's coming against me. He's coming against me. Dear people, Christ never lived as if there was no devil. Christ lived his life knowing that the devil lurked at every opportunity to come against him. And here in his omniscient mind, he tells the disciples as he sees the legions of hell amass themselves for the great battle, he says, the prince of this world cometh. He's on his way. For the battle. The battle, men and women of all battles. The warfare of all warfare. Christ says, arise. As the Father gave me commandment, even so do I arise. Now, when Christ said, the prince of this world cometh and of nothing in me, Christ was declaring absolute success. Absolute victory. I said a few weeks ago at the Lord's Supper, did you ever ask yourself why the Savior ordained the communion feast before the crucifixion? Because the victory of the cross was never in any doubt. This do in remembrance of me, and he hadn't even died yet. And here he assures his disciples of absolute success. He says to them, the prince of this world cometh and of nothing in me. Only Christ could say that. You can't say that, and I can't say it. Because there's plenty in us. But what Christ was saying was this, there's nothing in my nature or my character, nothing about me by means of which the devil can obtain a victory over me. There was nothing in Christ to be allured. There was nothing in Christ that rose to a temptation or desired a temptation. Nothing. And Christ assures his disciples here, The prince of this world's coming. He's amassing his legions right now as I speak. He's on his way. But I'm telling you, there's nothing in me. There's nothing in my nature or my character by which he can gain a victory over me. He was declaring his own impeccability. He couldn't sin. Christ, the earthen vessel of our humanity, saying, arise, let us go hence, empty of everything but desire to obey the Father and deliver his people. See, when Christ said there in verse 31, for the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Christ was telling us there was a day the Father said to him, arise, go. Take that earthen vessel. Dwell among men. Filled with a spirit without measure. And go out and conquer the enemy. And set my people free. The Father given the Son the commandment, arise and go. Dear believer, there was a time in eternity past when that great plan of redemption was made. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth a Son. Arise and go. Arise and go and deliver my lost ones. Deliver my people. Deliver this old world. And here's Christ on the verge. And now it's time to finish the work. Arise. Let us go hence. And for Gideon, having told his army, or seen it down to 300 men, the Lord says, take a trumpet, take earthen vessels with a lamp in it, and go out against the Midianites. Go out against the Midianites. Let's see what it was all about. Go back to Judges 7. What lessons there are here. Verse 18. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Verse 19. So Gideon, the 100 men that were with him, come unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held their lamps in their left hands and the trumpet in their right hand they blew withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They did two things. They blew a trumpet. And then they broke the vessels. They blew a trumpet, drawing attention. Then they broke the vessels and held the light in their hands. Man and woman, the application's clear. The trumpet is the gospel message. But the trumpet is only presenting the light. And when that trumpet was sounded there and that corralled that camp and the people looked, they only saw the light. That's what they saw. And God put that camp of Midianites into confusion and consternation, one turning the sword upon another. And there fell that day 120,000. But dear believer, understand this. The lamp, symbolic, or with the oil, symbolic of the Holy Ghost. The light, Christ and his gospel. How will the church? How does the church go against an innumerable world? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. There were no swords. They took a trumpet and an earthen vessel with a light in it. Broke an earthen vessel, shining forth then just its light. And that trumpet was the means of attracting the attention of that army to look upon the light. And dear people, as we blow the trumpet of the gospel in our world, it is not to draw attention to us. It's to draw attention to the light. Because our world is in darkness. Our world is in darkness. Here's 300 against 135,000. Leave God out of it, it doesn't work. And I tell you, people, without a trumpet to blow in our day and generation, and a light to hold up the blessed person of our Lord in his earthen vessel, and our humanity coming to rescue the day God gave him that command, arise and go. Rescue them. Save them. Conquer the enemy. Men and women, we have no message and we have no hope. But we have a message. It's not the trumpet. It's not the preacher that saves. It's the one he preaches. Christ. What a victory God wrought that day in the camp. Midianites destroyed. The people of God set free. Dear people, God is still looking for earthen vessels. Emptied of everything of self. Filled only with the Holy Ghost. To present the light to a world of darkness. Present Christ. And dear unsaved in this meeting this morning, when the Father said to the Son, arise and go, he was telling him to go to that great battle of the cross and Golgotha's brow. When the legions that amassed themselves came against Christ. No weapon in his hand. Just there he was, the God-man in our humanity, filled with the Holy Ghost without measure. That was the greatest victory in the greatest war. Never were the stakes higher. The eternal soul of man. But sinner, you need to come to him this morning. You need to come to Christ. You better believe it. Because those same legions that amassed themselves to come against Christ, day and daily they deceive you. Day and daily they seek to take you down to destruction. Our message is not Free Presbyterianism. We blow the gospel trumpet to draw attention to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the Savior of sinners. Sinner, will you come to him today? Backslider, will you come home? Let me repeat that. Sinner, will you come to him today? Backslider, will you come home? That statement in heaven, arise and go, sinner, was for souls like you. Christ came to rescue the lost. Will you come to him? Some of you put this off far too long. Some of you are living like there's no devil. No devil desiring to damn you. No devil, and let me just say this, that has been already successful in damning millions. Sinner, come to Christ. Flee to the only Redeemer. He'll save you now. And be that vessel unto honor. Filled with the Spirit. And then you leave off your warfare. As the celestial city opens up before you.
and it's forever with the Lord. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, how we thank thee for the one that trod the winepress alone. How we thank thee for the one that went into that great warfare of all warfare, and that great battlefield of all battlefields, to rescue the eternal soul of a fallen race. O God, rescue this morning in this meeting. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them from the everlasting burnings. And save this morning in this meeting. Bless the people of God. Equip us more and more to arise and face this hour. Fill us with the Spirit. Vessels only full of that blessed Spirit. That we might present Christ by our lives, by our words, and by our actions to a lost and perishing world. Hear prayer. Go with us now. Remember those that can remain for the Lord's table. And take everyone else to their home in safety. And there bless us on thy day. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, undeserving love of God the Father, sweet fellowship and communion of the abiding Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with God's people today and forever. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.